What's up, everybody? This is Chris Ford. You're listening to The Divide, episode one. I'm here with my good friends, Dr. John Wordsworth over in Stockholm.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Oh, well, apparently massive, some sort of time delay going on there, but I'm very well, thank you. It's good to be on the line with you today. I'm also here with Lord Benjamin Dodson over in, I'm not sure where you are these days. You're in Leicester, aren't you?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Are you still are you still using the lordship?
No.
Are you not? Okay. No. Did you have to give it back?
I was never a lord, Chris.
I thought you bought a lordship on the internet once, didn't you?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay, well, there we go. Revelations, like... episode one, Revelations, we should call it. The Divide, episode one. How well do we actually know our friends? I thought you had a lordship.
The thing is now, I'm going to look up whether I can buy a lordship.
You can, but all you do is you just legally change your name. So your first name literally becomes Lord. But if I was going to be, if I was going to choose a title, I'd choose Count, obviously.
Yeah. I have to ask though, would it be Lord Doctor or Doctor Lord?
I think Lord would override Doctor. I don't think you could be both.
Oh, man. Well, hey. Doctor took like 5 years. I'm keeping it.
I mean, you could be Lord John Wordsworth, PhD.
And I am just
Doctor
Mr. Ford. That's no fancy titles here. I didn't work hard enough. I did not study hard enough at school. I don't, and I don't have enough money to have a lordship. I'm just a plain old Mister.
Anyway, nice segue into the reason that it's
we are here on. Yeah, we're here on our first episode of the flagship of The Divide. Thanks very much for tuning in. We're here to talk to you every fortnight about all of the best news in games, in tech, general geekery. And the only thing that we guarantee is that at least one of you will laugh at least once. Is that all right?
Only once. That's all we can guarantee.
Yeah, we guaranteed one laugh. If you get more than one laugh, then it's just an absolute bonus. Every time you laugh, you have to listen to another episode.
Put a penny in the pot, you know. Just think of us.
A refund.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, guys, we've all decided to come together to record this podcast because we have a long history of radio together when we were all students. We used to be on student radio, and to be honest, we were extremely good at it, which is why we've decided that the world has been denied our audio talents for long enough. We've decided to come back together. Let's just have a little bit of a going around the room here, and maybe you want to say a little something about yourself. We won't do this every week, but seeing as it's our first episode, we can. Do you want to tell people what you do? Shall I go first, or shall I? I'll go last. We'll go with the person who's furthest north. Is that not John in Stockholm?
Probably is. Yeah, I'm around Scotland.
Yeah, northness. Tell us about yourself, John.
Well, not cool. So I'm currently living in Stockholm and working for a badass game developer. So living the dream. Now that I've got my PhD, that's obviously what you get it for. But no, so just a general. Programmer geek, really, and I love gaming and Apple. Surprisingly, I'm sitting here with my Apple laptop, my Apple iPad, my iPhone, and my iWatch.
A little Apple. Just a fun fact is we all, when we were together at uni, we all, I believe, had PCs, and then we've all independently joined the Apple fold, and then come back together with just a complete disdain for Windows that we've all developed individually and independently.
I think that comes with having a bit more money.
Yeah.
When you're a student and you've got 300 quid for a laptop.
And a little bit more sense, maybe. And, John, you're working for a games company in Stockholm. Is it true that you now own Vampire the Masquerade?
Not me personally. I mean, that's the... friggin' awesome if I did, but
it would be good.
Yes, Paradox Interactive have acquired White Wolf as of a couple of days ago, so
that's pretty
so spectacular. We'll have to wait and see what comes out of that deal. So, yeah,
not only is that spectacular, it's also dated this episode horribly, just in case we don't go out within minutes of recording. So that was my fault, my bad, everyone. I will try not to do that, but of course, there will be people listening.
I think it's timeless.
I forgot about Vampire Masquerade. and that game completely shit me up, like within about 20 minutes, so I stopped playing it. So I think I've only played like the first half an hour.
You're thinking about the video game, which was
I awesome. Am, yeah.
But I mean, obviously it was based on the tabletop RPG from years past.
And we've also just established a rule about whether or not we're going to swear on the show, I've just noticed. So well done, Ben. It's good. That was a question that needed to be asked. Ben, tell us a little bit about yourself while you're on the line.
I feel like I'm on a radio, like, phone-in line.
And was your answer A, B, or C? I think you're the only one that's text Ben to 83132. Don't actually text that, because it's not a number that exists.
It probably is.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm an iPhone developer living in Leicester. And I basically just do freelance work. I used to run a game called Wallaby, but I sold it about a month ago, which was nice. So now I just do work for freelance clients when I'm not generally being rude to them, because I'm not a big fan of people or stupidity. So it does not go well with my client work. In fact, I had a big falling out with a client this week because they were a bit too sensitive and I was a bit too rude. So that's me.
Can you share a bit more? Is that a client?
No, I can't.
Client developer confidentiality?
Yeah. No, basically I said you're a liar and you've not given me the stuff that you promised you would. And then he got pissy because I did that in front of all the other people on his team and he got upset about it. So,
what can you do? Yeah, that's true. It's true. It's probably best, isn't it, when you don't like people to actually be self-employed and work remotely. I think that's a very good idea.
Yes, and have your entire income dependent on them.
Yeah.
The only way I can...
And your relationships with people.
It's the only way I can feign niceness.
Yeah, it's true. Luckily, you're not using your real name on this podcast. Otherwise, nobody would use you anymore.
Yeah,
it's
true.
A little bit about me. I am... I don't lead anywhere near as exciting a life as either of these other two guys. I am a website developer, really, but I've just recently started working in the most archaic programming language ever known to man. I'm using QBasic now for a living.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's not entirely that bad. I guess I'm a software developer, but I don't really know what I'm doing with that. So I still class myself as a web developer because I actually know how to do that.
And you're planning on joining the 21st century sometime this year?
I was thinking, I've heard there's this new language out called C++ that I might check out. and maybe J++.
We laugh, but
that was
would
a thing, wasn't it?
J++
was a thing.
Was it plus there? And like Microsoft had a language that was like J something, didn't
they? Yeah, they had Visual J++, I think, at one point. And then they eventually gave up and just named it after C instead.
Sounds like an STD.
Yeah, C, absolutely.
J sharp and J++. Yeah, I see both.
Yeah, it's just a thing. Well, here we go. We've probably already made a significant proportion of our audience switch off their iPods now. Hey, I've got written down here on my schedule.
iPods? Who the hell has an iPod?
Who has an iPod?
It sounds like we're recording this like 10 years ago, Chris.
Hang on, they still sell iPods, don't they?
No one's listening to podcasts on iPods. Yeah, they still sell iPods, like an iPod Touch, but, you know, who's listening to a podcast on an iPod?
Well, hey, look, I'm a basic programmer. What do I know about technology?
I think the only people that buy iPods are like 8-year-old kids because they're not allowed phones, but they're allowed an iPod Touch.
I'm not getting my kid
or an iPod.
iPad. He can have one of those. He can have one of those rubbish ones that costs £30 and you can't actually control it. Is that the Shuffle or the Nano?
Yeah, they look tiny.
Yeah,
the Nano.
Most pointless iPod ever. Anyway,
all right. You can make Alice to grow up like we did, you know, with crappy Windows machines until he hits a certain age.
I'm not a complete barbarian, honestly. I've toiled so that he can grow up in a Mac household.
privilege. That's what privilege is nowadays.
Hey, I've got here on my schedule that we were going to talk about any cool news. Does anyone have any news? I've got some news, actually, that's just literally breaking. Do you want to hear my news?
Go for it.
I've been ripped off, right, on Amazon. Not ripped off. Well, kind of ripped off. Cheated, I say. I've been cheated. I was on Amazon the other day, and I saw somebody was selling about 100 quid's worth of Magic the Gathering cards for £6, and thought, oh, brilliant. They've totally done that by mistake. So I ordered it, and they've just sent me an email saying, you ain't getting those. I'm like, surely if it's advertised at that price, I think I need to look into this. So if you're listening, A1 Toys, I'm on to you. It's not my problem. It's not my fault that you messed up your pricing. Okay, I want my 360 Magic the Gathering cards. Anyway, that's my news.
Awesome.
A1 Toys, we're out to get you.
I thought we might very quickly want to sort of talk about the new Apple TV.
Go on, talk about the Apple TV.
Got his yesterday, right?
Yeah, but John's had an Apple TV for a while, haven't you? Because you've got one from work. You got one of the developer kits.
Yeah, I borrowed one of the developer devices for the last few weeks, which is pretty cool.
I'm
going to go and buy my own today. So.
Oh my God, totes gel. You can tell you used to be a teacher
on the device.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. Anyway, go on. Tell us about this Apple TV, because it's the sort of thing that I would like one, but I think it's horribly, horribly overpriced. And so I've still got the last one.
I mean, the new Apple TV is meant to be more than the old Apple TV, I guess. I mean, I don't think it's overpriced.
It is more. Significantly more. That's the problem.
But I don't think it's overpriced. It's just different. It's meant to be, you know, a machine that runs apps now. So the old one was just the hardware you needed to render HD video, and that was it. Now it's got a proper processor inside it with all the usual stuff, so it can run apps a bit like your other iOS devices. So I think it's a different device. So to say it's overpriced is a little bit.
And half the price is actually the remote, because if you want to buy a new remote for it, that costs £65. But the device itself is 120, so more than half the price is the remote.
That's pretty insane.
But it's a pretty cool device. I mean, I haven't actually played with the App Store yet, so I suspect Ben's probably had more of an experience with it than I have, because I've been throwing my own random demo apps at it, but haven't downloaded anything yet. So what's on the App Store at the moment, Ben?
Well, the App Store is difficult just because it basically... I mean, the problem with iOS in general is that it has no discoverability, because you have the top charts, and then you have got, like, you can go into like games and it'll list some games and you can see a chart of just games. The Apple TV has none of that. It has featured stuff and search. There's nothing in between. So if you're making a game, the chances of it being downloaded are slim. But I downloaded a couple of things, mainly iPhone games that I already owned. So Alto's Adventure, like the down snowboarding game, that's quite fun. And looks great on the full TV. Oceanhorn is a good game that I've never really played. I bought it because it's supposed to be great. It's like an old tiny Zelda, but in 3D. But it never really clicked with me on the iPad or the phone, even with a MFI controller. But on the Apple TV with the proper controller, it's wonderful. Really, really nice. Looks great. And then the other game I played was the Rayman game, which launched with it, which is free. And again, that looks great. It looks just like an Xbox Rayman game. Cool. Plays really well. And then I tried a few apps, like the Netflix app. It's pretty good, and you can do the universal search. So yesterday I was watching Dexter and said, show me season 4 of Dexter, and then it just popped up. Let me select the episode. And then it said, do you want to watch it for free on Netflix, or do you want to buy it on iTunes? Tough choice. It's really good. Works nicely. There's a lot of improvements to make to it, and I think a later version of it will be really, really good. But for now, it's a decent upgrade on what was there previously.
Cool. That's cool. And is the unit itself bigger? Because it looked like it was pretty chunky when they announced it.
It's the same as the existing black hockey puck one, but it's taller.
Right.
So it's like
It's like
not much bigger, though.
I'd say it's probably the height of two of them, of the old ones.
Okay.
But it's not massive or anything.
Well, that's cool. I can't imagine that I'm going to get the new Apple TV anytime soon. But
you need to get an Xbox One first of all.
So I'll just add it onto my list. I was trying to buy cheap Magic the Gathering cards, right?
I think really Chris needs to buy a book on programming languages from year 2000 onwards.
Yeah.
And a decent internet connection.
And a decent what? Internet connection. I can't help my internet.
Oh, the irony.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Shall we talk about some games then?
Yeah. Right. So today, the main point of today's episode is we're gonna try and compile a list of our favorite games. Now, this has really come from a conversation that we were having before we started recording the episode about games that we keep going back to. Okay. So not necessarily talking about modern games, although actually I don't know what games you guys are going to bring to the table, and likewise you don't know what I'm bringing to the table, so I mean there might be some very new games in the mix here, but I suspect that we're probably looking at games that are at least a couple of years old. Is this right?
I think we should well, for me at least, I'm going to try and pick what I think are genuinely good games that I would play. Quite a lot of time you get back through these lists and you see games that are like, this is the best game ever, but you think, yeah, but I'm never actually going to go back and play it. So
yeah,
I've tried to pick games that I think, you know what, I actually would still sit down and play this game. Like,
yeah.
If I got watchdogged, you know, like a good game that I thought got excited about and was not quite so good when it came out, I'd go back and play this sort of game instead. So these are my watchdog games that I would fall back to when I get disappointed.
That's a good show. But
would still play.
I mean, I'm IGN.
And we're just talking about PC games.
Yeah, no, not necessarily.
Are we?
I don't. Whatever, really. I mean, a couple of my games are available both on PC and on consoles.
All right.
Go on.
I thought we were talking PC games, but I was going to say that it's amusing just because none of us actually uses PCs anymore. We just use Macs.
It's true.
So
it's true, yeah.
They're games that are so good that we actually play them on Windows.
Yeah, they're games so good that we will sully ourselves with a Windows experience. And IGN just recently published a list of what they consider to be the 100 greatest games ever made. And I have to say that I disagreed with pretty much everything in their top 10, including virtually their entire top five and definitely their number one game. And so this is obviously an incredibly subjective experience, isn't it? Because everybody will just have their own. But that's the idea of doing it between us, I guess. We can discuss.
The issue with someone like IGN doing a list as well is that they're invariably going to choose a top 10 which are contentious, so that people talk about it and share it. So it's quite clickbaity. Like if you choose something terrible as number one, then everyone goes, oh, no, that's terrible. Oh, have you read this? And then they get loads of money through the advertising. Or not, because we all block our ads, but whatever.
That's true, actually. But I think, maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
We'll try.
What's the greatest game ever made?
Chips for you.
Chips Challenge.
Yeah.
We'll do the contentious bit for you so that, you know, you don't have to fight over what's the best. You can just listen to us and we'll tell you. It's fine.
That's true. Okay, John, what's a game on your list that you want to bring to the table?
Oh, now this is the first one. This is pretty cool. It means you can't gazump me. I think I'm going to have to go with Warcraft 3.
Okay.
Because that was an awesome strategy game. And obviously, most of the games we picked today, I think, are going to be like from a series of games because they're good enough to spawn sequels. But I think Warcraft 3 fits my criteria for something that I would still go back and play today. Mm. It's not too dated that I look at it now and go, it was good, but
Plus it runs on Mac.
It does.
It's interesting.
And obviously... Go on.
Well, I was going to say Warcraft 3 is not on my list, but I did think about it. And I do have... you know, Blizzard stuff on my list, actually. I think we could probably all agree that anyone's list of top games should and probably would contain at least one Blizzard game, because pretty much everything they produce is just spectacular.
Yeah, Without a doubt. And they're not afraid to refine either to make things better. So
yeah. What is it about War 3 in particular that you chose then? Are we talking without the expansion as well, just like vanilla Warcraft 3, or are we talking Frozen Throne?
Well, I guess now we're talking Frozen Throne because, you know, that's what I have. So that's how I would play it if I was to go back to it now. But I mean, just Warcraft 3 in general, with or without expansions, when it came out, it was, I'm not sure if it was the first, but it was definitely one of the first to do the kind of, it's not just an RTS because you get your hero and you go around and level up by killing mooks. And the fact it came with its level editor meant that it spawned so many mods and custom maps, and the power that came with that meant we have Dota, obviously. Like, Dota came from Warcraft 3.
Yes, of course it did.
So I think just the pure flexibility of what came with the modding tools meant you can keep playing this game over and over and over with all the different mods. It wasn't like, I'm done. I didn't play it massively in multiplayer back in the time because I guess back when it came out, multiplayer was kind of, you know, you had to have a good net connection, which wasn't taken for granted like it is nowadays. But I don't know, everything from the visual style, you know, the kind of cartoony style, so it doesn't date badly, even if you play it now. Obviously, some of the textures are not high res or anything, but you can still play it and it looks like a good game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variation in all the different races you played, so you actually felt like, I'm going to play the Night Elves. This is different to when I was playing the humans.
It was
just
difficult.
It was tight.
It was a really challenging game as well. I don't think I ever completed the Frozen Throne campaign. It was a really tough game, and actually getting through just the Orc campaign, I think in vanilla Warcraft 3, which is the third out of four, that it was a really difficult campaign. I can't remember which missions it was that gave me the most trouble, but you know, you it's not the sort of game that you would go back to lightly. You know that you're still going to get a challenge even years on, you know, experiencing it. And I think that is a really good aspect of that game.
Yeah, agreed. But it's awesome. I
mean, yeah, I've noticed that Ben hasn't uttered a word. So maybe he's sitting there thinking, God, I hate Warcraft so much.
I've never played it.
Have you not?
It's not going to make the top game today, I guess.
Okay, interesting. Okay, fair enough. Well, Ben, all right, tell us a game that's on your list.
Well, I had a hard time choosing between two that are similar but different in their own ways. And the two games are Portal 2 and Half-Life 2. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to choose Portal 2 just because it's a game that I have gone back and replayed, whereas Half-Life 2 I haven't so much. I've thought about it a few times, but haven't actually done it. Mm. And both are available on the Mac now, thanks to Steam. So they're easily replayable. But Portal 2 is a great game. It's one of those rare things where the sequel is better than the original, in my opinion. Just because the original Portal was a small little extra bundle game that I think only took about 2 or 3 hours maybe, and it was an amazing game, but Portal 2 just went so much further with it by adding more difficult puzzles, but really in the way that the story evolved, because the first one didn't really have a huge amount of story because you just go through these different labs and then you have the awesome bit when you escape and you go through the back passages of the facility. But in Portal 2, a huge amount of it is set in the original testing facilities from like the 1950s, and you can see it starting off as like them training astronauts and stuff for their experiments, and then by the end of it they're just getting homeless people off the street just to try anything they're trying to do. And the way that the story evolves through that is great, as well as the gameplay mechanics. The graphics are still good. They still add updates to it. I went onto Steam the other day, and they'd put an update to say, first of all, that Portal 2 was in the new LEGO Dimensions game, which is awesome. I'm not going to get into that, but it's very, very good. But they'd also done an update so it works with the new Steam controller. They're doing some stuff to make it work with virtual reality goggles and stuff. So it's still a fairly regularly updated game, despite the fact that they have changed nothing in type, the game itself.
They've also ported it to NVIDIA's Android devices, which is pretty cool. So you can play it on the NVIDIA Shield tablet.
You'd have to actually own an Android device for that, which I think would make you not cool enough to to deserve to play Portal 2.
But it's an NVIDIA Android device. If you're going to get an Android device, it should be an NVIDIA one.
I think I'd rather get a Windows phone.
But no, it's a great game. And even just little things like the way it starts, where you wake up in like the incubation facility, and then Wheatley turns up, voiced by Stephen Merchant, who I can't stand usually, but in this he's great.
He's spectacular, isn't he? It was just, when they said he was going to be in it, it just seemed like the stupidest idea. But he was so good in that game. It was a really amazing touch, I thought.
It was, it's incredible. And I love the way that it sort of starts off saying, right, okay, can you look up, and the controls when you press it makes you look down. And he's just like, all right, might be suffering a bit of brain damage. Yeah. But no, brilliant. Great game.
Yeah, there's so much character. That's what I like about it. You constantly feel like you're in a fun world that you want to be in.
And the mechanics are just, you know, I mean, they could put out endless Portal games, and I would probably want to play them because I never get tired of playing with that Portal gun. And I'm glad that you didn't say Half-Life 2, actually, because I'm not a massive fan of Half-Life 2. I don't quite know why everyone loves it so much, but Portal 2, I can totally get behind that. It was such an inspired choice, Ben. Well done.
I think I completely agree with your initial analysis. You're like, Half-Life 2 at the time was like amazing. But I keep thinking I should go back and play it and never do, whereas Portal 2 I would. So I think just in terms of longevity, Portal 2 picks to the post, even if Half-Life 2 may have been more, you know, ooh at the time.
I never really understood the Half-Life story, and I still don't really understand how it all works in the universe and stuff, whereas Portal I can get behind. But I can't talk about Half-Life 2 without bringing up the fact that we got it on launch day. Well, I say we. John got it on launch day.
I think we all did.
I think we did, but we went to a supermarket to buy it and got it on disc. And it was one of the first games that it basically like decrypted it and then unlocked it via the internet to play it so that people could preload it and stuff. And I sat in John's house and watched him install it. Which took 4.5 hours because it was decrypting all this stuff and it was so slow and the servers were jammed. And then it finished and I was like, oh, thank God. And he's like, yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. And I'm like, what? And I never got to see him play the bloody thing.
Yeah, it was like 2 a.m. when
it was.
We're just like, I'm beat. I can't do it anymore. Watching your progress bar for 4 hours is just done me in.
That's an excellent memory. I'm really glad that you chose to share that today.
Right, what's your game, Chris?
My first game is probably a game that I have replayed again and again, like over the last 15 years, I think. It's a game about as old as Visual Basic. And thanks to the good people at GOG.com, I have just recently managed to...
I know what's coming.
Get a copy again that works. It doesn't work on a Mac, sadly. I've had to dig out my old PC for it. But that game is Dungeon Keeper 2.
I wrote it down before you finished.
I love that game so much because it's just the whole fact of turning the traditional sort of fantasy setting on its head and actually being charged with creating a dungeon in order to actually stop the heroes from getting their treasure and stuff. And it's just such a clever idea, and I just love going back to that game so much. And I remember when I discovered that they had made a mobile app version, and I was so excited. I've never had such a level of excitement and then such a level of bitter, bitter disappointment as I did in the day that I discovered that Dungeon Keeper 2 existed on mobile, because they took just the best, one of my favorite game properties, and just absolutely ruined it.
And it's a real shame because they could have just basically rebuilt DK2 with modern, colourful graphics, if that's what people sell. And I would have been all over that, you know, if it's just basically Dungeon Keeper 2 with some colourful imps and, you know, all the new pretty graphics. The hell are the assets? But no, microtransactions are the future.
This is a great choice of a game because I have numerous times installed virtual machines on my Mac just so I can play this game.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. It's a brilliant game. Even just the sort of humour in it. Like you have one of the species is a mistress and you have to make her a torture chamber where she just screams and you like to rest, you have to put her in it.
Yeah.
So you drop her on like the little torture wheel and she basically just tortures herself to heal.
herself up, yeah.
It's a great game.
No, it's, I've
never completed it.
The humour in the campaign as well, you know, like games try to do humour quite a lot and they never seem to get it right. It either seems it too goofy or not. But this actually was genuinely funny, you know?
In a way, it's similar to Portal in the sense that you have the voice is... I don't think you ever really know who it is. Is it the some sort of mentor above you that talks to you? But just when he comes out with things like, your dungeon is on an incline, angry creatures cannot play marbles.
Yeah.
It's just like... You get usual things like, your dungeon has been breached.
Jackpot winner!
It is payday.
Yeah, yeah. And I get really cross when I play that game and if a hero tunnels into my dungeon because I like to keep everything neat and it really annoys me when I suddenly end up with a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
That's why you have to destroy them!
Exactly. Because they ruin my dungeon.
Hundreds of imps just to go around and like make the walls solid. And then, like, do some symmetry. And it really irritates me when you get, like, bits of rock that you can't cut through. And I'm like, but that's where I want to put the lair.
I remember a time about 10 years ago that it was just one of the times that I was rediscovering this game because it's got such replayability. And my housemates at the time and I, we'd just started playing it over LAN. And there were three of us. And I'll just remember when my housemate... I think I was using some spells that sort of let me unveil the map, and I basically worked out the entire layout of his dungeon. I produced about two or three dozen imps, and I just tunneled around completely around the outside of his dungeon, and then I just tagged all of the walls at once and tunneled the entire thing in, and it basically just it completely collapsed open his dungeon and I just poured all of my creatures in. It was the most satisfying win I've ever had. So much fun.
Awesome. I wish I'd played that more in multiplayer. Maybe one day in 6 months or so we'll do like a live session on YouTube or something.
That would be good.
We should definitely
Dungeon Keeper 2.
We should definitely do that.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
We'll put that down as idea number two.
Before we move on, have either played either Dungeons 2 or War for the Overworld? Because they're both modern games trying to fill the same niche.
I wanted to play Dungeons 2, but it got awful reviews.
Dungeons 1 did. Dungeons 2 has got better reviews. Dungeons 1, I think people were expecting a Dungeon Keeper, you know, like sequels. What's the spiritual successor? But the reality was it was something else. Whereas I think Dungeons 2 has tried to do more like what people want. And it's got something like 7 out of 10 on Metacritic.
Is it good? Have you played it?
I haven't played either yet. No, I was looking at them last night thinking, because they're on the Steam sale, the Halloween sale at the moment. So I was considering.
Are they?
Considering buying one of the two. I didn't know which because I want some Dungeon Keeper fix.
Chris loads up Steam.
The problem with any of these things is that whenever there's a game that is trying to be like ones from the past, like if they're trying to remake Theme Hospital or something, is that I invariably end up disappointed because it isn't just the game mechanic, it's the nostalgia of the game itself. And so 9 out of 10 times, I much prefer just to install a virtual machine and just replay the old game again.
It's such a good opportunity. Like they could basically go, here are all the things we thought they wanted to do then but couldn't, and make them better. But instead, they always decide to add their own twist. You know, like, oh, well, we're going to make it more about the imp's point of view or something, and you can only play as an imp or something weird. And you're like, well, we're going to add a single character that you have to play as. And they always add something which makes it like, that's obviously not what they would have done back then if they could. They would just have had more. They would have more spells, more monsters, more rune types, you know, maybe some special items you could pick up if you killed things and stuff. But they wouldn't have made it about a character or a story and stuff, you know, like those are things they could have done but didn't.
Yeah.
But I fear they take it in the wrong direction. But yeah, I mean, they're both worth checking out, but I don't think either is great. That's War for the Overworld and Dungeons 2. So
excellent.
Maybe we'll check those out and talk about them in the future.
As much as I really want to keep talking about Dungeon Keeper 2 because I love it so much, I'm going to ask John, what is another game that you keep going back to?
This is my last submission, so this is tough.
Dungeon Keeper 1.
It was so much better before. I had all that Windows 3D stuff. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bloody possession spell.
Going to go through a couple of maybes, and then I'll throw you the final choice, I think.
Okay.
So, the Civilization series has had a big impact on gaming, and the whole series has been pretty good, but I don't think any of them stand out on their own quite enough. Like, the first ones are innovative, but I wouldn't want to play them again. The later ones, I do sometimes play, but they're quite new games, so I don't play them because they're classics. I need to make a quick shout for Free Space 2, Conflict Free Space. I love those games. That's my list, you know, if I'm only asked to pick two, but I love those games. They were awesome. So it leaves me with the Elder Scrolls series. Now, this is the dilemma.
Good choice.
Do you pick Daggerfall, which was the first one I played, which was just epic, but I don't know if I'd actually go back and play it now because it's quite dated. But it obviously set the whole idea of, like, you can go anywhere in the world. I think the world was so big that if you left your PC running and left, you know, a coin on the W key on your keyboard, it would take something like 12 days to walk from one end of the world to the other in real time.
Goodness me.
I think they said the size of the world was half the size of England or something. But obviously, I mean, the majority of it was procedurally generated, so it wasn't... there were the main quests and some other pre-programmed quests, but a lot of it was, you know, you go to this guild. It's one of 10 random buildings. There's one of 10 different guys in with a random name. And he has one of 100 random quests, like go and find 20 boars to kill or something. So while it was a massive game, and there was cool stuff about it, like you could take a loan from one continent and then just jump to another continent and they wouldn't come and catch you because why would they? You know, it's not their continent. And then when you end up going back there later, you get screwed over. But would I go back and play it now? Or do I pick a more modern one like Morrowind or Skyrim?
Or Oblivion.
Oblivion, yeah, I think...
Oblivion would be my choice.
I really like Oblivion, but I think in terms of picking the best, Morrowind and Skyrim are two ends of the scale and Oblivion was in the middle somewhere. So I feel like I should either go one way and go for the classic Morrowind, which just had some charm about it, which is awesome.
Would you replay Morrowind? I think Morrowind would look pretty terrible now if you tried to replay it. Like Oblivion, I reckon you could probably get by with. Skyrim obviously looks fine because it's not that old. But I think Morrowind, I have a real difficulty playing games with 3D if they're over a certain age. Like top-down games, RTSs, anything, you know, from the side-scrolling era, like on the Mega Drive, no problem today. But early 3D stuff like Mario 64 is just like Mario 64 is one of those like nostalgic things. It's like, oh, I'd love to replay that game. And then you look at it and just go, oh my God, look at the state of this.
Yeah, the PS1 3D games aged the worst, didn't they? Like the PS1, PS2 era, because the 3D wasn't good enough. Like, it wasn't great. But now, like something like Oblivion, you can probably play that for a long time before it becomes too ugly to play.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I wonder if Morrowind is on that cusp.
So, but which one? If I do like Skyrim, but then I play a lot of mods. But Oblivion, so it's down to Oblivion or Skyrim, I think. I liked Oblivion more because you actually had stats. I really hated the fact in Skyrim they got rid of things like strength. And obviously it was like a simplification too far in my mind. But Oblivion was horribly broken in leveling. in that if you didn't level with a strategy, you could end up with a really rubbish character. And if you were level with a really good strategy, you basically broke the game. Because of the weird thing where if you... What was it? It's kind of if you don't use enough skills of your non-primary skills, you didn't get a very big stat increase. Because like, if you didn't have athletics as one of your skills that made you level, and you didn't, and you did 10 lots of athletics before you leveled, because it was a secondary skill, you could just do as many as you wanted, then it's like, ah, you've done lots of athletics in this one. You get +5 to your dexterity. If you didn't do any, you got +0. So at the end of the game, you could end up with either completely broken characters if you gamed it, or really rubbish characters if you didn't know what was going on.
I always judge an Elder Scrolls game by the quality of the Dark Brotherhood quests. Because, to be honest, I'd be quite happy just having none of the game apart from the Dark Brotherhood quests, and I'd be very happy. so for me, I would always choose Oblivion over Skyrim, but it's a difficult choice.
I'm gonna play the strategic game. I'm gonna go with Oblivion because I'm on the fence, and I think Oblivion has the potential to top our chart today. So I'm gonna go with Oblivion, and say that is my second game I'll go back and play because awesomely open world, great feeling. Patrick Stewart at the beginning. And I just love the fact that you can replay the game so many different ways. There's bundles and bundles of mods, which also helps replaying, and also updating the graphics for nowadays. And the fact you could just, I'm being a fighter this time, and you go through and play it as a fighter, and then I'm going to be a thief this time. It's a very different game.
And if you want to buy some horse armor, then they sell it for £5.
back before the world really knew what to do with DLC. But yes, so Oblivion, I believe, is going to be my...
Good choice.
My second choice.
All right, is it me again?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is very tricky again, just because there's so many good games. I thought about SimCity, just because I love SimCity.
Yeah, fair.
Even the new EA version, I still think is very, very good, and I can play that on my Mac. But I also hate SimCity because I always think I love it, and then I start playing it, and then I realise that I just run everyone into the ground because I don't care enough about my city.
Because you hate people.
Yeah, you don't need a police department. And with the new one, I always want to play it just because I want to get the drones so that you can get, like, police drones and ambulance drones. I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. But then you have to build all these stupid structures that I don't like. And I spend a lot of time just demolishing houses I don't like the look of. So that one's not going to go in there. Although I do want to mention one of the really interesting things they did years and years and years ago, about the time when SimCity 2000 came out, is that there were a load of Sim games. There was like Sim Tower, Sim Farm. There were loads of them. And there was one that I picked up called Sim Copter, where you basically fly around. You just flew around and you do like missions, like it might be, okay, someone's on a stretcher, so you have to pick them up and drop them off. Or be a criminal to chase and you put a spotlight on them. And it'd have like a classical music channel, so you just fly around with Ride of the Valkyries, and it was epic. Although it was terrible, terrible early 3D. But the cool thing was you could export your SimCity 2000 city and then fly through it in SimCopter. It's really, really cool. And there was also a great bug in it where they sacked a developer, but before he left, he changed it so that instead of getting a brass band at the end when you flew back to your hangar with fireworks, there were a load of men in bathing suits just walking around going. And they had to recall a huge amount of games. Hilarious. But I'm not going to put that on. I think I'm going to choose... another series I did think about was Command & Conquer, because I loved Red Alert. Tiberian Sun in particular, but I think they'd be terrible to play back now. But I'm going to go for Roller Coaster Tycoon, specifically the original Roller Coaster Tycoon with the expansion packs, which were Loopy Landscapes and Corkscrew Follies, I think it was called, because they added a load of extra features like better path tools, new rides and stuff, which Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 did, but The second one made a big change, which I hated, which was that you couldn't, when you chose a level, it would either be one where you could change the entrance price or you could charge money to go on the rides. You could never do both. Whereas in the original ones, you got to choose how you wanted to do it. So it wasn't the case necessarily that I always wanted to, you know, charge you money to come in and then charge you to go on the rides. Although sometimes there are reasons to do that if you've done a lot of theming, like have it like a pound or two to get in and then you pay more to go on the rides. But sometimes you just wanted the flexibility to charge in different ways depending on what the landscape was. And it never let you do that in the sequel, which is why I didn't really get on with it as well. But Roller Coaster Tycoon's a great game. It took sort of the what was good about theme park and made it much better. I mean, I was never very good at creating my own roller coasters. I'd generally kill people on it. But I'd be too intense and they'd be too boring. And they always seem to end in about 30 seconds. So I was never very good at that stuff. But I loved the amount of customization that you could choose different buildings, different colors. You could theme with music and stuff. You could research like a Wild West theme, for example, and then have Wild West music playing everywhere. Mm. You could even make like the little signs all Wild West themed and put little bits around. And sometimes people would walk through the park and go, oh, the theming is really cool here. And I really enjoyed that. I don't really have much more to say about it. Apart from that, it's just a really nice simulator. They've got a ton of levels. I've never completed it. especially with the expansions. They even added like Alton Towers and Blackpool Pleasure Beach games that came with one of the expansions. So there's tons of stuff to go through there. And I think there's some modding stuff, though I've not really looked into it. But that's a game that I regularly will boot up Windows XP and load that on, have a few games of it. The only problem with it was that there was no fast forward button. So if it was like the mission would invariably be something like achieve like customer satisfaction 700 by the end of year 4. And it'd be like, okay, I've done that by the end of year 1 and I can't speed it up. And it's about 2 hours of real time. Yeah. So I generally just like leave it running in a window and do something else I wait for it.
I think that's a really good choice. I think Roller Coaster Tycoon is the sequel to Theme Park that people deserved, because Theme Park World, which I think was the actual sequel to Theme Park, was just dreadful. Roller Coaster Tycoon just took everything to the next level, and it stripped out a lot of the, you know, the Bullfrog traditionally did cartoony stuff, like, because, you know, Dungeon Keeper is the same, and that's fine, but Roller Coaster Tycoon actually stripped out the cartooniness, kept it fun, made it a little bit more serious, and it really, I think, appealed to more like the SimCity generation, people who actually wanted to create something really good. And I think Roller Coaster Tycoon really did that. If I was going to choose one in the series, I'd probably choose Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
A lot of people like that. I like the third one.
You can get that on mobile now. You can get that on the iPad completely untouched by free-to-play stuff.
Nice.
And I have downloaded it, but I've not played it. But there is Roller Coaster Tycoon 4, which is a freemium packed
show.
But there is a new one coming. I think it's called Roller Coaster World. I might be wrong.
Right.
Which I saw a video of it the other day, and it's coming next year, and it looks amazing. Like, it's really, really nice. They've taken essentially Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 and then gone and stuck it in a modern engine. So you can do things like curved paths and really interesting, clever roller coaster structures that you build yourself, that kind of stuff. So that's well worth looking up.
I remember when I spent a long time, probably hours, I made two roller coasters that sort of intertwined each other. And the pièce de résistance was that both of them, basically, they were both completely unfinished. And so on both of them, the roller coaster would go down into a dip and then shoot up and shoot off the end of the track. And I actually had the two ends pointing at each other so that they would, like, the two cars would basically fly off the track and then have a mid-air collision. It was brilliant.
I remember spending 3 hours in your room, Chris, playing Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, because you'd showed it to me. I think it was actually you were showing me that roller coaster.
Yeah.
then you showed me that you could do fireworks and music, and I remember us spending hours sinking up a roller coaster. It might have been that one. I think
it was the Black Eyed Peas, wasn't it?
The Black Eyed Peas. Yeah. I think it was Let's Get It Started, and yeah, we had, like, as the roller coaster would go through, we timed it with the fireworks so they shut up from the sides of the track.
Yeah,
was...
I remember that. I remember that really well. And now, that's an another excellent memory. You're bringing the really good memories to the table today. That's a really good choice, Roller Coaster Tycoon. I'm aware that we are pushing on for time a little bit here, and I don't want to massively overrun. So I think I'll go through one more game, shall I? And then we'll wrap it up.
Yep. Yeah. Then we'll try and pick the best.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a few on my list still, actually, because I kind of imagined that we would have a lot of crossover, which we haven't really had. So I'll do some notable mentions. I was very tempted to say StarCraft, the original StarCraft, because I think that game for me was what Warcraft 3 was for John. I could go back and replay StarCraft again and again and again. I absolutely loved it. I was also going to mention GTA San Andreas, which is... A Grand Theft Auto game that, again, I could just go back to. But actually, I bought it on Xbox Live for about a fiver, and it has suffered graphically. It's quite difficult to play when you've got all of the wonderful gesticulation in the characters, but they haven't got any fingers. They've just got, like, they've got door wedges for hands. And it's like, it really makes it difficult to play. But there was some phenomenal voice talent in that game.
I bought it on the iPhone. Yeah. And it's just terrible.
It is, yeah.
I just can't do it.
Yeah.
It's like the original GTA 3, I played for hours on PC. Absolutely. Yeah. Hours, days.
And, you know, a game that I've played again and again and again, I've sunk hundreds of hours into this game, and I even named my son after a character from this game, is Dragon Age Origins. But I'm not going to choose it, but I loved that game. That was my favourite RPG, like, of all time. I just absolutely love it. I was playing Dragon Age Origins through, I think, for the first time when my wife was pregnant, and that's why, and we were choosing names, and that's why I just settled on Alistair, because I just had him in my party at the time, and I was used to hearing his name, and I quite liked it. I said, what about Alistair? That's quite good. But I think the game I'm going to choose is a little bit controversial, maybe. It's a game that I have put some years into, and I actually... It's not a game that I will just keep. It is a game that I go back to sort of like once every couple of years. But I like, it's not one that I play and then I have to, and then I sort of get bored of it because it's too old. It's a game that I have to, like, physically quit myself from playing. I'm like,
I think I know what this is.
Yeah.
Gonna be.
I mean, I consider myself a recovering addict from this game, but I love it so much. And that game is World of Warcraft.
Oh, it's wrong.
Yeah, what were you going to thinking?
I was thinking The Sims.
The Sims. Well, that's true. That would have been a notable mention. But I mean, I love World of Warcraft so much. And what made me think of it was actually because of all of this Halloween stuff that's going on, what with it being Halloween. Like, they used to do such good in-game seasonal stuff. And I was just thinking, it just made me think, like, this time some years ago when I was still playing Warcraft, I just... Everywhere you go, all the towns would just have Halloween decorations everywhere, and there's loads and loads of Halloween themed quests. And I just, you know, they really put a lot of effort in. World of Warcraft, I suspect, is a game that neither of you have played. Is that right?
I've played like one character at the level 8, but because I didn't really have a group of friends to play with, I think it didn't grab me. You know, I think it's charms playing it with friends.
I have never played it.
No, I mean, I've sunk hours and hours of my life into this. In fact, I gave the first time I managed to quit. In fact, like when you give up, it's just because you suddenly realize that you've been paying a subscription for a couple of months and you haven't really logged in. This is a thing that if it was free to play, I would still be playing it all the time. It's just I can't justify spending sort of, I think it's now £10 a month on a game if I'm not really going to have time to play it.
The it's first one of those time... games where you need to be at like university, where you can just sit and do nothing else.
Absolutely. Now that I have like a job and a family and and things like that, I just can't really justify the time. But the first time I quit playing it, it was fine. I went for a couple of years, and then they started doing those adverts with Mr. T. Remember those? And like, it just watching those adverts just made me twitch. Like, oh, like I love World of Warcraft so much. And I remember and then Blizzard are very clever. They occasionally send you an email and say, "Oh, you haven't logged into World of Warcraft for a couple of years. Why didn't you have 10 days free?" You go, "Okay, you just know that you are signing up for another few months when you follow that." I think I got one of those about the time of the Mr. T adverts, and so I logged back in, and it just everything was just so warm and comfortable and familiar, and I think I played for another sort of year to 18 months after the Mr. T episode. At the moment, I think I haven't played Warcraft probably for a couple of years. And at the moment, as I say, I don't really have the time to go into it. So, like I say, a bit of a controversial one, because it's not a game that I do like to dip back into. It's a game that I have to stop myself from playing, because I know that if I played it again, it would be a couple of months that I was playing it for. But yeah. So that's my one. That's my last one.
You're getting the shakes just sitting there now.
Yeah. Well, I think about it all the time, you know. I really do. It is like a drug. It is like some horribly addictive substance, World of Warcraft. And I think that you will find that there's a lot of people out there who would say the same. But no, it will always hold a special place in my heart. If I could only play one game ever again, it would definitely be World of Warcraft, I think.
But I have one game which I'd forgotten about that deserves an honourable mention.
Yes.
Because while you were speaking about it, it reminded me of us playing it for hours.
Yeah.
Which is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember distinctly doing it, and what was the first planet called? I think it's called Taris. And I remember your shock that I had managed to get Dark Side Mastery before I'd left.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, and even now, I will still use Taris as a I can't think of the fancy word that I want, but I use Taris as a word that I to describe something that just takes an excruciatingly long time to finish. You had about 12 hours of gameplay on Taris before you could actually go off into the galaxy,
and like 4 hours of that you didn't even have a lightsaber.
Yeah, like, horrible game.
It's in the bloody vibra blade.
Yeah. Horrible. Awesome. We're pushing up to the hour count here on the show. So
let's choose a game.
Let's pick the pinnacle. Which is the pinnacle, do you think? If we had to all of us pick one, we're going to a desert island, all three of us, we only get one game with us.
Dungeon Keeper 2.
I'm gonna say Dungeon Keeper 2 because it's the only one that we've said that we would replay.
Yeah.
we've actually written it in our show notes to say we need to do a live play session of this game.
That's true.
But we didn't say that about any of the others. So by virtue of the fact that the three of us are going to play it together, makes me think that is the champion.
So there you go. You heard it here, Dungeon Keeper 2. Best PC game of all time is Dungeon Keeper 2.
Cool. Available on GOG.com for about $5, I think. So that's...
Well, check out the really cool version that they put on iOS.
Yeah.
If you've got 8 hours to spare waiting for your through one piece of wall.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Well, that was good. I really enjoyed that. So I think it's probably a good idea to wrap up while we're approaching the hour mark. I think it's probably a good point to mention the website, of course, which is www.thedivide.co.uk. Where you can get all the show notes, and you could presumably download this episode, or will it only be available through iTunes? We haven't figured that out yet, because obviously, as we're recording it, there are no shows available for download. But
I think we'll allow the non-Apple clips to have a download link.
Okay, good. Although, after calling on that, they probably won't want to. They probably won't want to listen to our show. Okay,
and we don't want that sort of listening.
And. we're going to try and do this show fortnightly, so I have no idea what date this is going to go out, but whatever date it goes out 2 weeks from here, there'll be another one. Is that sound about right?
Yeah, sounds good. I think the current goal is to get a show out every other Wednesday, right?
Yeah, so okay. Sounds awesome.
Every other Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay, wicked. Cool, guys. Well, I think that's a really good place to wrap up today. And so I think we'll just say thanks very much to you guys out there for listening. And also thanks to John and Ben. I've really enjoyed having a chat with you guys today. And it's been really good talking about these wicked old games.
Agreed. Thank you very much, Chris.
Yeah, you're welcome. Ben.
Your dungeon heart is under attack.
Yeah, nice one. All right, guys. We'll see you next time on The Divide. Goodbye.